Hello.
How are you?
Fantastic. Just freaking amazing. How are you?
That's sarcasm, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Good. Not sarcasm.
Not sarcasm. Mm-hmm. We both have vacation next week, so we're pumping this out so that we can leave here.
Getting her done.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of Wicked.
Mysterious.
I'm your host, Annie.
And I'm Katie.
And this is season 2, episode 14.
It just keeps getting higher and higher.
I know. It's getting up there.
It's really crazy cool.
Imagine when we're in like season 5.
Yeah, it's just, I like the number higher, and like when we do multiple seasons, the numbers start over again. And it just makes me feel a little sad when I, you know. Because I know. What are we at? Like, well past 50 episodes, right?
I think we're like approaching 75 or something like that.
A little behind I am over here. Sorry about that.
No, I know. I've lost count too, but our next milestone is 75.
That's awesome. Yeah, we hit. What was our last milestone that we hit for downloads?
1,000 downloads.
Yeah. So go us.
I know. So thank you, everybody that's out there listening, and just our normal routine. If you're listening on YouTube, please help us. Please subscribe and like and comment. It really does help. And Katie's rolling her eyes at me. But it does. It really helps. And I just want to do a couple quick shout outs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thank you to Gracie Dorsey for just being amazing.
Thank you, continuing Gracie,
to support us.
Thank you, Gracie Dorsey.
She's great. She sends us a lot of good messages, and she's subscribed to us on Facebook, which is nice of her. You don't have to do that, but thank you so much. It helps.
Yep. We saw your name. I saw your name pop up and message Danny. I was like, that Gracie, man, that Gracie, she's just awesome.
Yeah, she is. She really is. She's so nice. And also want to give a shout out to Bruce. Bruce R. from Facebook. He is like super fan Bruce. He super comments...
Fan. Superfan Bruce.
Yeah, he comments on every single post, and he pumps us up. So Bruce, for our always being there.
Wicked shout out to you, Bruce.
But I have a really special shout out.
Yeah, this is a super special shout out. We have to come up with a new, just for him, just because of him, we need to come up with like not superfan, but like we'll come up with it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good though.
So we wanted to say hi to Calvin, or should I say Kai?
Hi, Calvin.
And thank you for listening. His mom, Alexandria, is amazing. Very, very nice to us. And she said that he is a huge fan. So we're a huge fan of you, Kai.
Yes, we are. For real. You are one awesome little dude. Thank you for listening. And thank you to mom. 12. Well, mom. Yep. And big thanks to mom for playing it around him, because that's where he obviously picked up on it.
Yeah.
So for listening, thank you. You're awesome too.
Yeah. I was going to say your mommy loves you, but he's 12 and he's probably going to be like, bruh.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
but anyway, cool.
Thank you, Alexandria.
Thank you.
And Calvin.
Thanks, guys.
That's all I've got.
All right. All right. Cool. Well, I got quite a story.
I can't wait.
Like I told you, it's pretty popular. It's like up there with like the Betty and Barney experience. So you probably do know it. I'm calling this episode Robot Aliens. Let's see
if you know this.
Yeah, let's see if you know this. You might. I just kind of called it something wild, you know, to throw you off. But let's start here. In 1973 in Mississippi, two friends stopped off at a pier to enjoy some fishing. When their plans went to complete shit and they found themselves on a craft with three creatures, unlike any extraterrestrial creatures we've ever heard of before, This is two men's story of an ordinary night turned extraordinary, changing their lives forever. Let's get into it.
Whoa.
You like that?
Yeah, I don't think I know this. This does not ring any bells at all.
Okay, because I feel like if anything, Mississippi would ring a bell right away because I couldn't get Mississippi out of my head after I was done researching this. Like anything I ever said to anybody that involved any state, I was calling it Mississippi. And I'm like, no, that's definitely not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, blah, blah. So Mississippi was really stuck in my head after this. So I think it would ring a bell.
Was this recently on that new show on Netflix?
I didn't see it on that.
Okay. Because my mom texted me about some new unexplained show on Netflix. And it actually, I saw like the trailer for it and it had like the Oakville Blobs on there and it had like a couple abductions. I was like, they stole our content. But one of them took place in Mississippi because my mom was texting me about how none of them were wearing bras. And she's like, I guess they don't wear bras in Mississippi.
That is hilarious. Your mother is hilarious. Actually, are you talking about the unexplained with what's his name? William Shatner?
No, this is newer.
Interesting. Cause I was going to say, I really like the unexplained with William Shatner.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like second best to Unsolved Mysteries in my
eyes.
Yeah. Cool. We're on the same page. All right. Then we can.
Anywho.
We can move on now. It was the evening of October 11th, 1973, in Pascagoula on the south coast of Mississippi, where the state meets the Gulf of Mexico. Two men decided they wanted to go fishing on the Pascagoula River, which runs through Jackson County to the sea, so they stopped off at a pier. They were 42-year-old Charlie Hickson and 19-year-old Calvin Parker, and they were both from Jones County. And not only good friends, but co-workers as well. The two weren't catching anything great, so Charlie suggested that they move to another area where he had had luck in the past catching speckled trout and redfish. They picked up all of their gear and walked over nearby to the old Shopiter's shipyard and set up, ignoring the posted sign. They sat there for a while fishing when a blue light suddenly came from behind them, lighting up the sky. Calvin said he immediately first thought it was police and that they were going to be in trouble for trespassing. But as he and Hickson turned, he realized it wasn't police that they needed to be worried about. The abnormal blue light was part of a huge oblong silver object buzzing in the sky, hovering up 25 to 30 yards away from them. Circled a bit before coming right down, hovering over a bayou, about 2 to 3 feet off of the ground. The object was completely smooth with a few windows and a visible door that opened and released three creatures that floated above the water and began moving straight for Parker and Hickson. Parker became hysterical as they smoothly glided towards them, and Hickson said he felt frozen with fear. Hickson, in his interview a few hours after the incident with Sheriff Fred Diamond and Captain Glenn Ryder, described the terrifying creatures as bulky, pale, around 4 to 5 feet tall, neckless, not the thing you wear around your neck. They had no necks, as in 86 necks, okay? Sans necks. That's weird. AF.
As in Big Ed?
As in Big Ed.
We can make fun of him because he's a jerk. So
wicked jerk ass. We can definitely make fun of him. Yeah. All right. So necklace, no eyes that he could see. Oh, yeah.
It took me a minute. Necklace. I got it.
Yeah. I'm like, not wearing a necklace. Yeah. No eyes that he could see, and something jetting out of their face where a human nose would be. And below that was a robot-like slit that never moved that they saw. Two objects coming out of the outside of the head, also where human ears would be, were also noticed.
I do have something to say real quick. How weird is it that this episode is involving a Calvin? And we gave our special shout out to Calvin.
I didn't even tie that together.
Isn't that strange?
That is strange. And I had written this well before we had that interaction. Right.
And we don't know what the other person is going to tell us. So, like, I didn't know about this episode.
Right. Oh, right. Yes. We never know what the episode is going to be. Yeah.
Right.
That makes it even weirder.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Cool. So, okay. Two objects were coming out of the sides of the head where human ears would be. The skin could have been wrinkly, or it may have been a skin fit.
Like a skin suit?
That's what I'm assuming skin fit means, like a tight to skin, like a maybe like a mask suit.
Like a wetsuit for the face?
Like a mask suit. What did I just call it? A mask suit? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I think you said a face suit.
Right. So that's what the exact words he said was a skin fit. So this could have been, like I said, the skin could have been wrinkly or it may have been a skin fit. Take that how you will with your imagination.
Okay. I think I get it. Super tight. Yeah.
Super tight and like wrinkly because it's, you know, wasn't sure if they were wearing something on their head. So yeah, he wasn't sure if there was like a mask on them or something. But again, they had no necks. So it's just freaking very weird. That's the weirdest part to me is the no necks thing. Even more than like hovering above the water, I'm like.
I think what's weirder than the no neck is the robot mouth.
Yeah.
Or whatever
yeah,
it is.
They don't see moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them comments that they moved robotic, which is why I named it or why I'm naming the episode robot. Robot. What did I say it was?
Robot aliens.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. He says this actually could take the top of it here. This could take the cake. So he didn't notice any clothing on them, but he said that they had pincers for hands and round things for legs, if you'd call it a leg. That was his exact quote, if you'd call it a leg, with no toes. So basically there was like something as legs and round things at the bottom, but no toes and there was no shoes. So it's just like, can you get the picture of that round things on the legs? It's just weird.
Yeah. Pincers
for hands, like a crab. Yes.
Okay. I'm intrigued. This might be my favorite alien so far.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I've never heard of this alien.
Add him to the list.
That's it. Hickson stated that one of them made an electric buzzing sound like zzz, zzz. Did I do that good?
Yeah.
And he said he wasn't sure if he was communicating with the other two, but he never heard any noises coming from the other two. At this point, two of the creatures grabbed and lifted Hickson under his arms without any pressure or pain, and they glided him to the craft. Smooth operator. That's what I picture. I don't know. Parker is also taken to the craft by the other creature. And at this point, he goes relaxed and it's assumed that he passes out. He assumes he passes out too. Hickson reported the only lights on the outside of the craft that he saw were blue lights and the blue light that they had originally seen. And inside, he saw no lights at all or bulbs anywhere, but it just glowed very brightly. They both were laid out on examining tables, and Hickson reported calm and without any urge to resist. A small instrument came down from the ceiling, described as similar to an eye by Hickson and no bigger than a deck of cards by Parker, and that the object circled around their heads making clicking sounds, and Hickson reported in the interview the night of the incident that it went all up and down his body, too. And then the creatures left. So yeah, the whole like eye thing, like similar to a lens maybe, because especially if it was making clicking sounds, because then it would sound like a camera. It would like seem like a camera to me.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a, you remember in CD players, that little lens that like red?
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing, but big. So that's kind of an eyeball.
Very good thought there. Neither man could move, only able to move their eyes. Charlie Hickson said that he did try to talk to them when they returned about 20 to 30 minutes later, and he got no response except faint buzzing sounds. Parker recalls and reports in later interviews that a female, different looking, she came out, a different looking being, she came out at this point and pinched his cheek and stuck her finger. So she had regular fingers, like long ones. She stuck her finger down his throat under his uvula and tried to go up into his nasal cavity.
What the fuck? That must have been a long ass finger.
Yes, yes. And which obviously distressed him. And then he reported that she telepathically told him that it was okay and that they weren't going to hurt him. Sounds like you're hurting him right now.
Yeah, that's what they said to Barney before they fucking shoved a thing in his ass and punched him in the stomach or whatever they did. Sorry.
Oh, man, I was like just thinking in my head, sorry, Calvin.
I know, I'm sorry, Calvin. I'm sorry, Calvin's mom.
Sorry in advance all the time.
Yes.
And the next day, they found themselves back outside. Parker was inconsolable, and Hickson was in shock and knew that they needed to report this, but also knew that nobody was going to believe them. Hickson later admits to police this is when he had some swigs of whiskey to calm his nerves, but claimed only after the incident he drank. He admitted he needed to calm his nerves before he contacted the Jackson County Police Department, and he spoke with Glenn Ryder, former Jackson County captain, whom then encouraged the guys to come in. Despite how ridiculous their story seemed, the trauma in Hickson's voice was convincing. The boys were questioned together and separate several times. A recorder was secretly set up in a room that the men were eventually left together in. It was here where the two carried out a genuinely distressed conversation, still clearly in shock at what had happened to them. And I'm going to read, me and Danny are going to read for you a partial transcript. She just sent it to me because I'm so unprepared with my own shit. So Danny's going to read Charles and I'm going to read Calvin. And we're going to read you a partial part of this transcript from the police department that night. Remember, they were in a room alone, and this was a recording that they did not know was happening. Okay, so Calvin starts off. I gotta get home and get to bed or get some nerve pills or see the doctor or something. I can't stand it. I'm about to go half crazy.
I'll tell you, when we're through, I'll get you something to settle you down so you can get some damn sleep.
I can't sleep yet. I'm just damn near crazy.
Well, Calvin, when they brought you out, when they brought me out of that thing, God damn it, I like to never in hell got you straightened out. My damn arms, my arms. I remember they just froze up and I couldn't move. Like I just stepped on a damn rattlesnake. They didn't do me that way.
I passed out. I expect I never passed out in my whole life.
I never seen nothing like that before in my life. You can't make people believe.
I don't want to keep sitting here. I want to see a doctor.
They better wake up and start believing. They better start believing.
You see how that damn door come right up?
I don't know how it opened, son. I don't know.
It just laid up. And just like that, those sons of bitches, just like that, they come out.
I know. You can't believe it. You can't make people believe it.
I paralyzed right then. I couldn't move.
They won't believe it. They're gonna believe it one of these days. It might be too late. I knew all along it was people from other worlds up there. I knew all along. I never thought it would happen to me.
You know yourself, I don't drink.
I know that, son. When I got to the house, I'm gonna get me another drink, make me sleep. Look, what are we sitting around for? I gotta go tell Blanche. What are we waiting for?
I gotta go to the house. I'm getting sick. I gotta get out of here.
It's hard to believe. Oh, God, it's awful. I know there's a God up there.
And Charlie left the room. So, hope you enjoyed that, because that was super fun. I definitely enjoyed that.
Reading We're voice that. Actors now.
Yeah, we are. We should do more like that.
People probably hate it. So many people probably just shut it off.
Yeah, they probably definitely stopped listening. Okay, well.
I thought it was fun.
It definitely was fun. That conversation that we just did so well relaying to you between the two men was compelling to law enforcement, and they were leaning towards believing them. They would have expected a different tone or intent from the men's conversation had they had been plotting a hoax. It was clear that they were both very shooken up and something had happened. Now, I also should note that you can find this on YouTube, and it's super hard to hear, but there is subtitles. So I would suggest you look it up. It definitely, you can hear the panic in their voices. I think it's super, it'd be super important for the episode for you to look it up. Calvin and Parker, secret, what was it? What was it, Danny? Secret audio recording.
Yeah, it was like secret police recording.
Yeah, it won't take much effort to find, that's for sure. It's easy to find. So at this point, ufologist J. Allen Hynek of the Center of UFO Studies and researcher James Harder of the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization were already on their way to interview the two men. Harder unsuccessfully hypnotized the men, but was able to conclude that they had had an experience, quote, an extraterrestrial phenomena, end quote. Hynek believed that they had at least had a, quote, very real and frightening experience, end quote. The police also believed their story. Hickson and Parker were sent to Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi to ensure that they were not radioactive. Whoa.
And were they?
No.
Okay, good.
After they were cleared of radiation, they went to the hospital to be checked out, where a line of sheriff's cars lined up in the front of the emergency room. A news reporter, Kent Brabender, of WALA came in and got a glimpse of the two men and recorded them. And in just 3 days, by Sunday, the story of the possible abduction of Charlie Hickson and Calvin Parker was spread across the country. It was a media circus. The news reporter won an Association of Radio Television Award for that recording and for his outstanding broadcast journalism. Calvin was not taking the attention well, so Calvin was not liking the spotlight on him at all, and he found himself in hiding while Charlie would openly share his story to anybody that would listen. Hickson later requested and passed a lie detector test, but there is speculation that the examiner was not well experienced and was not hired by the police department. As for Parker, he went on to suffer a mental breakdown and was briefly hospitalized. Several years later, the story was still a sensation, and Hickson continued to spread his story to anybody that would listen. He wrote and self-published a book in 1983 called The UFO Contact in Pensacola. How do I say that word, Danny? That place.
It sounds like Pensacola, but I don't remember.
Yeah, Pensacola?
Pensacola.
Yeah, I apologize to anybody that is from there that's upset right now, and swore by his story until his heart attack that ended his life September 9th, 2011, when he was 80 years old. Parker began doing public speaking and conventions, and in 1993, he started his own company called UFO Investigations to produce TV shows of UFO stories. Parker also wrote a book called Closest Encounter, My Story, and describes his firsthand account and what the experience did to his life. The Historical Society funded a marker of the event and was unveiled at the site of the alleged abduction on June 22, 2019, an event that Calvin Parker himself was overjoyed to be able to attend along with his family. Charlie Hickson's son and their family attended as well, along with family and community members. It was a very incredible moment for Parker, and he commented to TV reporters, quote, "It's emotional for me. I can't really describe it because I would break out in tears if I do. I wish when I died, I could be buried right here under this plaque. That would explain it best. It's quite an honor," end quote. Wow, right?
Yeah. And I just feel like, I don't know, when you mentioned how they felt when they saw it, how they were like frozen in fear. Just imagine like a normal day, you're out fishing and all of a sudden you see something like that. Mm-hmm. And somebody sticks their finger down your throat. Like, that's crazy. And then to not be believed and like have a mental breakdown and stuff. It's just so like,
yeah,
so your life, sad.
Yeah. Your life.
And it must mean the world to somebody to have, you know, like I said about that with the Kecksburg, like that must be so important to them to be able to have like a community that understands that, yes, you're not crazy and that this really did happen.
Absolutely.
Despite what NASA says.
Absolutely. That's a perfect way to put it. You know, the community support, because that's your everyday life, you know, and that's your roots. Like, that's huge. So Hickson's son stated that he had been waiting a very long time for this and that he wished that his father was there to experience it. Parker died August 24th, 2023 to kidney cancer. He was 68 years old. So, do you think this is a genuine story?
I think they're all genuine stories. I don't think I've heard one that I didn't believe.
Yeah. Of course, there's a lot of skeptics. Some say Hickson would add small details to his story as time would go on, like little details, you know, that he had left out before. So that makes people skeptical. It's like not enough to make me like that skeptical unless it was like really like those little details. Well, unless those details were big details.
Mm.
Well, if they're just like little tiny details, I don't know if I would be like 100. I wouldn't know. I don't know. But,
you know, we've talked about before that memory is kind of ever evolving, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's really bizarre.
How your brain works.
It's true. Like I've told you that like years later, I would remember something I played on the piano as a kid, like it literally just came to me one day and I just started like play it. So it's weird how that happens. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't discount the story based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people that pointed out that the two men were both tired. It's assumed that this was like, after work, you know, and that they were drinking because, you know, one of them admitted to drinking at least. And some speculate that they could have dozed off and were in like a sleep paralysis or dreamlike state when all of this was happening.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. Okay. I mean, you're not going to fall asleep in a fishing boat and all of a sudden that you're being abducted. Like that doesn't happen. And like, only people that are, you know, their brains are damaged from drinking really witness hallucinations like that. It's not like you just get drunk and just witness. Like I could see, you know, other drugs like mushrooms or some kind of other hallucinogenic maybe. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They doesn't sound like that was the case.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. But there's also, have to mention, a famous UFO skeptic out there, Philip J. Klass.
Boo! No, I'm just kidding. I don't know anything about him.
Klass is an ass. So Philip J. Klass ass. He points out that in Hickson's past, he was once fired for obtaining money from employees, making him a dishonest and untrustworthy source of information. Also that his story of like minor details had changed throughout, like some, you know, like other people speculate, and that the polygraph was not administered by the police. And instead it was by an inexperienced tech. And altogether, he just concluded that this story was a hoax. Like that was his conclusion. I just have to say that. You know, I have to say that because somebody will Google it and be like, this was proven to be a hoax by Philip J. Klass. Well, all right, that's fine. And we all have our own opinions and we're not saying this story is true. We're just, I'm telling you what his opinion was. And I think his opinion is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion.
What was I going to say? I interrupted you to say something.
Yeah.
No, what did I say?
It was probably about maybe the polygraph.
Oh yeah, the polygraph. Polygraphs mean nothing because
they're not even 100% right.
They don't, like, if you can't even use it in court as proof of anything, what the fuck is the point?
Right.
I'm sure, like everybody has a physiological response to lying, sure, but
I mean,
and then saying like, saying that somebody's lying about an abduction because they stole money once, like
when they were younger, like this dude's, you know, he's up there. He's not a little kid. He's not, you know, he's not a teenager.
Yeah. People are multifaceted and people are allowed to change over time. Like don't do that. That's fucked up.
Absolutely. Yeah. That you can definitely do shitty things and then become, you know, better. You learn from your mistakes, right?
Yeah.
But some skeptics, though, perceive the two's secret recording conversation to be more like corroborating their stories over just reliving their trauma as the police had felt that they genuinely were. I mean, the police had a feeling that they were just, you know, kind of traumatized talking to each other. That's the feeling that the police got from it. But yeah, there's skeptics out there that say it's more like they were just kind of going over their stories together, like to get on the same page in a good way, I guess, in a safe way in the police department. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're going to believe what you believe in. Any evidence you have, you're going to use it to support your existing belief already. So if they don't believe them, they're just going to be like, oh, they're corroborating.
Right.
Whereas if you do believe it, you're like, oh, they sound so believable. And it sounds like they're like trauma dumping on top of each other, you know?
Yes.
What is wrong with me?
It's the truth. You're just speaking the truth. The next thing I know that you're familiar with, hypnagogic. So there's skeptics that believe that this could have been a hypnagogic experience that Hixon had, and that Parker didn't have to have one of those, the same experience, because he stated that he passed out to the police originally. So people are, you know, that's their, some people's point of view is that this could have been that kind of experience, and that Parker was, you know, passed out and maybe imagining everything based off of what Hixon's story was. You know, I'm trying to make sense of that theory.
I don't know. I guess that's possible. Have you ever had the same dream as somebody?
Not at the same time. No.
I had a sleepover when I was a kid, and my friend that slept over and I had the exact same dream, and we were like so bugged out.
Weird.
So I guess it's possible, but I don't think, I mean, unless you're on drugs, like we talked about, like in the lucid dreaming episode, unless you're on drugs, you know, when you're awake or asleep, unless you're like intentionally fucking with that, but then you know that you don't know because you've been fucking with that. If they're not like, they're just out on a fish, like, come on.
Yeah.
Why do we just not believe regular normal people? Why do we have to like,
that's the thing. It's like, let's just, there are humans out there that are telling the truth and, you know.
I think more likely than not.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when they don't have anything to gain. Like, that's not like they're posting it on, like, Antonio de Leo. I mean, posting, videos and being like, look it, and using it as some kind of, you know.
Yeah, trying to gain a platform.
I mean, because you can get monetized that way. This is 1973. Right. They're not.
That's true. They did both write books, you know.
Way later.
I mean, Hixon way earlier than Parker, but
yeah.
I mean, definitely later, not right away. That's for sure.
Right.
But yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was a fun story.
That's great. And if you're not in our Facebook group, we had a bunch of people join from your last episode. So thank you so much. But I will post pictures, as many as I can find, because if you want to look it up, it's the Pascagoula alien. Yeah. And there, it's not like anything we've seen, and it's got it does look like Big Ed, except it's tall with pincers, and it's got like, it doesn't have feet. It just has like
round things,
like pegs. Balls. Of some sort.
Yeah. Like feet shapes, but not like feet, not toes.
Yeah, and it also has these weird things sticking out of his head. Did you talk about that?
I did. You weren't paying attention. But
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, out the sides, like where human ears would be, and then like where the nose would be.
Yes, you did say that. You did say that. I heard that. Yeah, but the picture is...
I know. The picture is really creepy. I mean, I don't know how close of a real accurate, you know, depiction that is. I don't know.
And they were in a saucer. Is that right? Like your typical gray alien saucer?
They were in a oval shaped.
Okay.
Yeah. Oblong.
Oblong.
Yeah. And silver.
Hmm.
Yep. And no lights except the blue light that they saw when it, you know, first originally came and they thought it was the Po-Po.
Mm-hmm. The Kecksburg crash had a flashing blue light, too.
Ooh, interesting. Huh. And that one was also shaped in like a...
That was the acorn one.
Oh, the acorn. It's hard to keep track, man.
I know.
All these sky, these outer space vehicles.
I am going to be... Are we ufologists now? I feel like we are because we know so much about aliens.
We could be. But we have a lot on our plate as it is. So let's just be this for now. Let's just be us for now.
Professional alien scientist, alien researcher.
Yeah, we love it. All right. Well, that was it for this week.
All right.
And I hope that you're enjoying your... Well, for some, you guys are having April vacation. If you have kids, hopefully you're enjoying your April vacation, or you will enjoy your April vacation because we will. We are going to be on vacay, like Danny said, and enjoying every little bit of it because we're not recording or doing anything. Right, Danny? No work.
Correct. We're not. But you won't. Nobody will notice a difference because we're banging this out ahead of time.
Yeah.
As we should.
Ahead of time. Don't always. I had a time slash still cutting it close, but we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it. All right. Well, that's it. And we'll see you next week. Why do I always say see you?
That's fine.
I don't like it. It bothers me.
We'll talk to you next week. You'll hear us next week.
You close it. You say it.
Okay. See you next week.
You still didn't see.
I don't.
All right.
Stay mysterious.